Storyteller Lorraine Johnson Coleman says lots of Northerners have a cockeyed view of the South, the notion that there are black folks and white folks and no one else. So she set out to portray a more complicated South in a book about food. In Larissa's Bread Book, Johnson Coleman writes about the cultural traditions behind various breads, from Cherokee fry breads and Gullah rice muffins to that staple of Southern cooking, cornbread. Anne Strainchamps wanted to know why she picked bread as the subject for her book.
Because bread, the making of bread is so intimate. It's not one of those things like throwing a steak on the grill. When women make bread together, they come into each other's personal space, they talk, they share, they sip coffee while it's baking.
You know, when a lot of people think about the South, I think they think about barbecue, smoked ham, grits. I'm not sure they think about bread.
Oh, the first thing people think of in the South is cornbread. Hush puppies. Bread is the first thing you think. I don't know any Southerner, if you said, name a Southern food that's always on your table, that the first thing out of their mouth would be cornbread or rolls or biscuits. Bread is absolutely the most identifiable food with the South, without question.
One of the points you make in your book is that cooking is about stories, and that mm-hmm. bread is very much about stories and family memories. So are there family memories or stories for you that come up when you think of cornbread?
Well, if you look at Miss Bess in the first part of the book, she is based on my Aunt Betty. And when I was growing up, my Aunt Betty was the one who often taught me how to cook. And I remember very, very well going into her kitchen as a preteen and her telling me, first of all, that if I couldn't fry chicken and make a pan of cornbread, wouldn't a decent man have me? All the rest of that stuff didn't matter. And she told me that all the other stuff fades away, but if you can't feed a man, he won't be around long. So I had to learn how to cook. So she taught me how to cook. And Aunt Betty was like most Southern cooks in that, of course, she didn't measure anything. Most African Americans of her generation didn't read and write very, very well. And so she didn't measure anything. She didn't have anything written down. This was not the Martha Stewart way of cooking. She was very much a sum of this, a little bit of that. And when you say, well, how much is some? Well, some is more than a little, but less than a lot. If she was making a brandy sauce with a bread pudding, she'd say, you put a little brandy in, but not enough to make the preacher drunk. Well, how much does it take to make the preacher drunk? And so you always had all these questions because her definitions were so undefined. But if you followed her around long enough, you learned to cook the way she did, which was learning how the bread dough should feel, learning how the fried chicken should look right before it's done.
It's pretty different from learning how to cook from recipe books, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is. And I don't think I've ever seen my Aunt Betty. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen any of the elderly women in my family with a cookbook. I don't ever remember any of them ever even having one. I don't remember seeing one in their homes. It's just something that did not exist in the African-American culture of days gone by. That just didn't happen.
Is the cornbread and biscuits that black folks have traditionally made the same as the cornbread and biscuits baked on the other side of town by the white folks?
Yes, because I always have to teach people throughout the country that only in the Northwest, the Northeast, and probably the Mid-Atlantic is there such a term as soul food. See, in the South, there's no such thing as soul food because white folks in the South understand that everybody eats collard greens, everybody eats barbecue, everybody eats fried chicken, everybody makes cornbread. I mean, we all eat the same food. So in the South, maybe as divided as we've been socially and politically, there is still that disconnect. But in terms of culture, in terms of food, we are very much on one accord. If you go to a barbecue stand and they put out some collard greens and some cornbread, the white folks will knock you over trying to get a good piece of cornbread just like the black folks will. So in the South, food is very much defined by is it good or is it bad, not is it black or is it white.
You also write in the book about a bunch of different cultural traditions.
Absolutely.
Cherokee to Jews in Charleston, mountain mm-hmm. people in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Did you set out to discover, to explore different baking traditions?
Well, no, actually, I set out to do a book that would really kill the myth that the South is just black and white, We are this homogenous group of people down here, and all white folks are the same, and all black folks are the same. Now, when you go to places like New York City, of course, nobody would even think to say that. There are Irish Americans, there are Italian Americans, there are Jewish Americans. All of those people exist in Chicago, Detroit, New York. Come south, and everybody says, oh, yeah, that's where they have the black folks and white folks. Well, we also have Irish and Italian and Jewish. And when they came to the south, they didn't leave their cultural selves behind. And what I want to let people know is that those cultures are strong in the South. They have an incredible significance, and these people didn't arrive last week. They've been here for hundreds of years, and it's time they be recognized as the Southerners that they are. And so that's what the book was about. And then bread and food became a great way to tell that story.
So what are some of the other famous breads that you found that you wrote about?
Well, there's, you know, there's fry bread, there's all of the Jewish celebration breads. I mean, I think that many of the Jewish breads are tied to religious ceremonies. But, you know, the wonderful thing was coming up with even new things. I mean, you know, we got a lot of newfangled Southerners here. We got a lot of uppity folks that want to be fancy and Southern. And so for them, I have things like cornbread croutons. You want croutons? We'll give you croutons. But there's nothing like cornbread croutons. So we got stuff for your traditional Southerners, and we got stuff for your up-and-coming uppity Southerners. So we got cornbread croutons. Have you ever had cornbread croutons?
I have never had cornbread croutons.
See?
No.
This is nouveau Southern, I've been told. I went somewhere in Atlanta and had black-eyed pea salad. They charged me $9.50 for 4 tablespoons of black-eyed peas chilled with some onions on them. I said, what is this? He said, it's nouvelle Southern. I thought, and I got to pay this much money for it? So that's when I discovered there was a new kind of Southern cooking that was very fancy. And I decided to include a few of those things like cornbread croutons in my cookbook.
Beans and cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight. Cornbread said, "Now that's all right. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night, and I'll be ready. I'll be ready tomorrow night. I'll be ready. I'll be ready tomorrow night."
Lorraine Johnson Coleman is a storyteller in Savannah, Georgia. She talked with Anne Strangechamps about Larissa's Bread Book.